And welcome back to another post-market commentary and update from yours truly and Mining Stock Daily. Today, I am joined by Stephanie Miller of Sandhill Strategy, who is based in the Washington, D.C. area. Stephanie, you are becoming somewhat of a frequent guest of the show because things keep changing there on the East Coast. But how are you today, and how are things with you and your family, most of all?
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Trevor, for having me back, and thanks for asking. We're, like the rest of the country, trying to learn how to work from home with toddlers and dogs and all the rest. I don't think there should be interruption during this call, but, you know, it could just get extra interesting this time around.
Yeah. Well, my interview last hour, my son popped into the office to give me a painting that he had painted here, and you know,
exactly.
That's fine, but
just
that's the world.
That's
the world we live in right now, isn't it, Stephanie?
Exactly.
Hey, so
we're all in it together.
Let's get down to business right now, because we have closed the markets down for today on Wednesday. Just looking at the numbers here, Dow Jones actually was up a little bit, but the big news, I mean, actually, it was up a lot earlier today, and then really sold off within the last 30 to 60 minutes of trading. What's your thoughts here, and what are you hearing on why this sell-off, when optimism was really the name of the game the last couple of days as we lead into supposedly this big stimulus package deal?
Yeah, I mean, just picture every sweet Wall Street analyst waking up this morning and getting the news, you know, as the sunshine hit their face, that there is a deal in the Senate and we are going to have this congressional deal. And that optimism was really, really, you know, materialized in the market, and the market, you know, chugs along all day. And by 3 p.m., we still don't have a deal from the Senate. And what do we have? We have some Republican senators, including Trevor from our home state of Nebraska, saying that this deal could actually have an accidental typo that would be a poison pill and incentivize people to quit their jobs and stay on unemployment insurance. We have Bernie Sanders, presidential candidate, saying that he would be happy to block this bill if those senators don't drop their objections. And so what now does it feel like? It feels like same old Washington fighting when we, you know, we all woke up from this middle of the night session thinking that we would have bill text. And not only do we not have bill text, but it seems like the two sides are still fighting.
Yeah, it is. It just definitely seems like politics can't keep themselves out the door. And I mean, I think there is this overwhelming need for a bill, obviously. And the thing about it is, Stephanie, and you and I were kind of chatting about this before, even with $2 trillion, which is a crazy amount of money, I mean, like, there's a lot of zeros in that, it still doesn't seem like it's enough given what's all happened in the last 3 weeks. What are you hearing in Washington and from Wall Street about this stimulus? Is $2 trillion enough, or is that just maybe phase one or QE4 of mini QEs, infinity QEs?
Yeah, exactly. So a few things. One is that no one in Washington views this as the final phase of a congressional stimulus series. It has been described by Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin as inning two of, I assume, nine, because there's nine innings in baseball. It's been described by lobbyists I've spoken to as the beginning of up to 12, maybe for every month of the year. I don't know where they get that number. But the idea is that there should be many more packages to come. I think what the problem is around, you know, my, where I sit and what Sandhill, what we do is try to predict what's going to happen next. And it's hard for me to expect there would be that many more when this one is so difficult. So I think the number that a lot of people think will hit in aggregate when you put all the stimulus together is somewhere around like 7 or 8 trillion, which is enormous, right? And that would need to happen if the economy really is shut down for a long period of time. Now, I think that some of that number does incorporate monetary policy efforts too. So I guess that wouldn't just be out of Congress. But I do think as folks are trying to game out, like, what sort of package of policy could we count on out of Washington, I think it's going to be really big. The next phase, so, you know, not getting ahead of ourselves because we're not done with this current phase, but the next phase very well could be that big infrastructure bill. There's been years of talking about the need for a $2 trillion infrastructure package, which even, you know, 2 weeks ago would have felt like a crazy number. And now it's like $2 trillion, whatever. Like, we do that all the time. And so there's a ton of money that Congress would like to spend. And so I would certainly expect more out of them, even when this is done.
Stephanie, we've had a couple conversations in the last week or so about this stimulus package, which obviously hasn't been finalized yet, and we're still awaiting signatures and approval from. But can you kind of give us a little bit of background? It seems like it is filled with a bunch of, I guess, for lack of a better term, pork barrel spending from both sides of Congress that has nothing to do with the economy or putting checks in front of people who need it the most. I've seen anything from environmental policies to combat climate change, and I've also seen things on highlights from the bill to help protect our elections. You know, as a layperson that looks at some of this and sees the things happening just around, you know, my community here in the Western Metro of Denver, it's hard to believe that some of this stuff is even being negotiated, and that why is this priority now?
So I guess I'm the bearer of good news to you, which is that version of the bill is not passing. That was the House Democrats version of the bill, and it was highly criticized for a lot of what you said. Now, there's sort of a divide in this country. I don't know if you've heard. but, like, we are living in super divided times right now. And one way that I have been noticing that divide to really materialize right now during this COVID-19 crisis is around whether or not people trust big corporations in Wall Street or whether they don't. And probably even better way to say that is whether you really don't trust big corporations in Wall Street or whether you are neutral. Like, I don't know how many people are out there just talking about how much they love big companies and love Wall Street. I think there's a few, but I think for most people, you fall into the bucket of really distrustful or just kind of neutral. And so what that has done is led a lot of the policy to be through a lens of, if we're giving money to big corporations and if that benefits Wall Street, then it's somehow taking away from small and medium-sized businesses and individuals who should be the beneficiaries of a stimulus package. And so what that House Democratic bill was their basically view of and articulation of that view pretty intensely. And then layered on top of that were a bunch of policies that were, in their view, completely related to this current situation, but that Republicans and certainly Democrat, like moderate Democrats even, whose views weren't even as well captured in that package, would say were sort of superfluous. And so what we're using as the base bill for this policy that's moving is actually the Senate Republican bill with some changes. And in terms of, you know, energy policy, there's no strings attached for money to airlines. That was something House Democrats had said they would demand, was that if you're going to give airlines any money, you have to make sure they have carbon emission requirements around it. That is not in the final package, as I understand it. Again, we haven't seen legislative text, but based on all the public information around that, it sounds like that's not in there. And in fact, there was $3 billion that Congress wanted to appropriate to designate for purchases under the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The Democrats said was a big bailout for big oil, and so they struck that too. So there's no SPR purchases in this either. So striking that SPR purchase was the environmental win, and so there's nothing else really. But yeah, that was sort of the problem. Both sides don't trust each other. Many people don't trust companies, and so what most people wanted to see, including actually Wall Street, because my clients are all Wall Street. What they really wanted to see was a lot of money to individuals and small and medium-sized businesses, because with that, the view is and will be, you know, as long as I can see it, that this is going to be really bad for big companies, but most of them should be in a position to rearrange cash, liquidate whatever they need to do to stay afloat. And that the real concern is that small and medium-sized businesses and people, households that don't have enough liquidity, cash, whatever you want to call it, to survive the next, you know, 3 to 5 to 6 months, in the event that that's how long it takes for this to pass, that they would come out the other side with real problems, or not come out the other side, that there would be businesses that go under. So what's really interesting is that even these big companies and, you know, Wall Street that most people do not trust, what they're advocating for is actually what most people on, you know, what we like to refer to as Main Street. What Main Street and Wall Street wants right now are very, very aligned. And that is not something I think that's appreciated. And because of that, there's a ton of leeway in Congress to make sure that, you know, people are going to get checks quickly, that small and medium-sized businesses are going to get access to loans that will, in many cases, be forgiven quickly, that individuals who do lose their jobs are going to get unemployment benefits that are dramatically beefed up so that they are not struggling to fulfill their own obligations. And what that should do is keep the U.S. economy humming, albeit a much lower rate, but still humming enough that it should mitigate some of the damage.
Stephanie, a lot of what we talk about here is what is going to either be beneficial or detrimental for precious metals, obviously, as we are mining stock daily. And if there's one thing that all of our listeners know, it is something like quantitative easing and economic stimulus is really like rocket fuel for precious metals, specifically gold. And gold really has been hanging in there for the last, I would say, week, despite some volatile moves and day to day. And I'm just curious, from what you're hearing in Washington and on Wall Street, when we talk about $2 trillion, we know that that obviously is further devaluation of the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. Is there continued conversation just about the amount of debt that we've continued to bring on, about the pipeline clog of liquidity that many people saw coming from months and months before COVID really came and basically pricked the overinflated balloon of the economy? What kind of those conversations are happening? We've even had conversations here on the show about a monetary reset. There's rumors out of Europe about the Eurozone maybe potentially introducing a digital currency. So I'm just kind of curious what you're hearing there in Washington, D.C., somewhere along those same lines, because from what we understand here and our listeners is this is almost more of the same, and we don't necessarily think it's going to fix the problem. So just give us your thoughts here.
Yeah, the mentality in Washington right now is that concerns about the size of the deficit are inappropriate in this moment when thinking about bailing out the economy. So for better or worse, I would not think that deficit concerns would come into consideration at all, basically, for the next 6 months. I think it's going to be spend, and deal with the balance sheet issues later. On top of that, and again, I haven't seen bill text, but in a previous version of the Senate bill, there is a provision that will allow folks to access their retirement funds to spend on emergency COVID-related expenditures, such as treatments or anything. There's definitions around it, but up to $100,000, you should be able to access without penalty your retirement funds if you run into some financing issues specifically for your household related to the coronavirus. That leaves me worried that we're both going to run up a huge deficit as a country while reducing households' ability to be solvent themselves over both, not just now, but maybe over a longer term. And so I think that is, there are some definite trends there to start understanding right now about the future of this country. You know, people don't save here. That's part of why we're in this pickle in the first place, is most households don't have enough funding to take them through 6 months, let alone 6 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And we're just putting a lot more pressure on that while we're running up our federal deficit. So there's some really interesting macroeconomic dynamics happening right now.
Stephanie, thank you so much for your insight here. We always appreciate hearing what's happening on your end and with your ear to the ground in Washington, D.C., because you mentioned it the other week. The line between politics and economics has definitely been blurred and has been for quite some time now. So we appreciate your insight, and we hope to have you again on sooner, later, maybe later in April, to see how everything here plays out. And hopefully we do have a stimulus bill signed and ready to go that helps everybody.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me. And I hope all your listeners are staying safe and sane. And I look forward to coming back hopefully later, because maybe that means they fixed everything in the meantime, but probably not.
We can cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. All right.
This is Stephanie Miller with Sandhill Strategy.